of 2 Samuel, chapter 9. 2 Samuel, chapter 9. Read the entire chapter. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, be the grandson of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and all his house. Now therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always, or alway, at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that the Lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both his feet. We've, of course, preached from this passage many times. By way of background to our text, as we all know, Saul had been a very bitter enemy of David. Envy and pride and animosity, unlawful revenge, seemed to fill the heart and mind of Saul toward David. And several times, Saul tried to kill David. He had a bounty upon his head. In 1 Samuel 31, Saul and his son Jonathan are killed. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, David is made king over Judah, which was the southern part of the kingdom. And we read in chapter 3, verses 1 and 6 of 2 Samuel, that there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David. So there is conflict and there is resistance from Saul's family. Saul's already passed on.
but from Saul's family against David. Saul's son, Ishbosheth, is trying to rule in competition with David. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, Abner, a servant of Saul, is now serving Saul's son Ishbosheth, but he and Abner have a problem over one of Saul's concubines. There's a message there also. So Abner gets mad and revolts to David. He goes over to David and he says, David, I'm going to be on your side. David receives Abner, even makes a feast for him. And Abner makes a promise to David, basically saying, David, I'm going to go back to Israel, the northern part, and I'm going to tell the people to serve you. I'm going to tell the people to be on your side. But when Joab, David's servant, finds out that Abner has been to the palace, he becomes very upset. Because Abner is not only the servant of Saul's kingdom, but Abner also was the murderer of Joab's brother. Joab says to David, basically, I'm paraphrasing, I can't believe that you let that traitor come into the kingdom. I can't believe that you fed him and sent him away in peace. And without knowing it, Joab sends servants out to pursue after Abner. But it turns out that Joab himself approaches Abner and kills him. David finds out and goes into mourning. All that's in 2 Samuel chapter 3. In 2 Samuel chapter 4, Ishbosheth, the one who's ruling in competition with David, he is killed. And his head is brought to David. And you would think, perhaps, that David's response would be, yes! Saul's son is dead. We can have peace. But instead, David kills the ones who had killed Ishbosheth. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 and 6, Ishbosheth is dead. We have the coming together of all of Israel to crown David as king. And in addition, David is having victory over the Philistines. 2 Samuel chapter 7, Nathan comes to David, and he assures him of God's blessings upon his life. You're saying, David, God is going to bless you. And David responds or rejoices with thanksgiving. In 2 Samuel chapter 8, there are more of David's victories recorded over Israel's enemies. And that brings us to our text. And what we have here is one of the most beautiful and magnificent scenes in all the Word of God. What we read here, without a doubt, is one of the greatest illustrations in the Word of God, and there are so many, of God's saving grace. What we have here is more than just the historical account of a king and a lame man. It's more than just a historical account of a king showing grace and love and compassion and kindness to a family member of an arch enemy. There's more to it than that. It's more than simply the historical account of the family member of an enemy king being brought and received into the king's family. It is more than just a historical account of a family member of an enemy king that is cared for and provided for by the king. It's more than just a historical account of restoration to the undeserving. It's all of these things. But it's an illustration. It's a picture. It is a story about friendship. It is a story about promises. It is a story about grace and deliverance and restoration and love and compassion, forgiveness and hope. But it's more than that. Because in this story, all the saved find themselves. The recipient of the blessings of the king is a man by the name of Mephibosheth. His name, the place where he resided, the condition that he was in, the portion that he received, all typify and illustrate the amazing salvation of a sinner. Again, it is a story of each one of us that has been delivered by the grace of God. It is a story of hope to all those who have not been saved by the grace of God. You see, the Word of God becomes much more meaningful, much more desirable and exciting and profitable when we can identify personally with its accounts, when they become personal to us. In this historical account, we see how that grace changed the life of Mephibosheth. Notice verse 11. He shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And in verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, the place of the palace, for he did eat continually at the king's table. He went from existing in Lodabar to living in the palace, to living in Jerusalem. He went from just getting by in Lodabar to feasting at the king's table. And what is said of Mephibosheth is true of each one of us that have been saved. I want to speak this morning on palace living. Because that's what Mephibosheth is doing. He's living in the palace. He's feasting at the king's table. I want to spend most of our time on how Mephibosheth went from Lodabar to the palace. It says in verse 6, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. And we want to recognize how it was that this came about. It says that Mephibosheth came to David. But how did all that come about? See, you and I that are saved, we came to Christ. But we got there the same way Mephibosheth got to David. First of all, there was the desire of the king. Again, Saul had been a bitter enemy of David. And as such, he had relentlessly pursued David and tried to kill David on many occasions. But Saul is dead. David is the king. Saul's family by this time had been so decimated by the judgments of God that inquiry is made by David in verse 1, is there yet any left of the house of Saul? And in verse 3, he asks Ziba, is there not yet any left of the house of Saul? He was seeking any possible survivor of Saul's family. Now, the custom of that day was, of course, when you came into the kingdom, the wise thing to do was to exterminate and to execute everybody that was related to your predecessor, to prevent any future revolt. But listen to David. Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him the kind, show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Those are amazing words. Those are not the words that you would expect to hear. What you would expect to hear is this: Saul tried to kill me. Saul made my life miserable. Now you all go out and you search the land and you find Saul's grandchildren, his cousins, his nephews, his friends, and anybody who was associated with him in the kingdom, and kill him. That's what you'd expect to hear, especially considering the customs of that day. But the reason that the king is seeking survivors of his arch enemy is that I may show the kindness of God unto him. Those are words of grace. Those are words of love. And it is important that we take notice in this illustration that it is the king who takes the initiative. Not Mephibosheth, but it is the king. So we have this desire of David to show the kindness of God unto a survivor of Saul's family. Now, what was it that moved David to have this desire? Why did he have this desire? Well, it tells us, verse 1, for Jonathan's sake. For Jonathan's sake. The king desired and was intent to show kindness to a member of Saul's family. Not because of any merit in Saul. Not because of Mephibosheth. But for Jonathan's sake. The king also was resolved to show kindness to a member of his enemies of family simply on the account of Jonathan. Now you remember the story. We're not going to go into detail for time's sake, but Jonathan, back in 1 Samuel 18, Jonathan had protected David from Saul. And back in 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 4, David and Jonathan entered into a covenant. And David swore to Jonathan that he would show kindness unto Saul's house. David now desires, Jonathan is dead, Saul is dead. The only survivor left, it seems. You have Ishbosheth and then Mephibosheth. He now desires to show the very kindness of God on any possible survivors of Saul's house, not because they were worthy, but because Jonathan was worthy. This illustrates this fact. God desired to save me. Why? Why did God desire to save me? Because of Jonathan, but who Jonathan illustrates or typifies, Jesus. Simply because of Jesus. Long before you and I existed, you and I that are saved, God desired to save us. Not because of what our genealogy would be, not because we would be this great servant of God, not because of any goodness in us, but all because of Jesus. Because of a covenant entered into. Now let's notice, so we have David's desire to save Mephibosheth. Let's look at the object of David's desire. The object of David's quest. He asked Ziba in verse 3, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show unto him the kindness of God?" Ziba proceeded to tell the king of Jonathan's son. The name of his son, we're told, is Mephibosheth. Names meant something back then. The name Mephibosheth meant a shameful thing. We could all be named Mephibosheth. A shameful thing. That is, he was disgraceful. That, of course, is an accurate picture of our sinful nature. We are all an unclean thing, Isaiah 64 and verse 6. So you have Mephibosheth, a shameful thing. But notice the family that Mephibosheth belonged to. Not only is he a shameful thing, but he belonged to and was part of a disgraced family. And all families of earth have been disgraced by sin. You can say all you want to, "I'm very proud of my family." You come from a disgraced family before God. It was a doomed family. And it was a destitute, a needy family. He belonged to the family of Saul. And the truth is, David would have been justified in putting him to death as the offspring of Saul. Again, I am Mephibosheth. But David desired to show him the kindness of God. And so it is with you and I. God desired to show us his kindness, his grace, on account of Jesus. So we have Mephibosheth. He's a shameful thing. He's from a disgraced family. And I don't care who your family is. You go back to your family tree, and on every branch is a filthy, rebellious sinner. That's the history of our family tree. But Mephibosheth, in addition to these things, was a fugitive from David. We learn from 2 Samuel 4 and verse 4 that when Mephibosheth was 5 years old, news came that Saul and Jonathan had been killed, and David was ascending to the throne, and Mephibosheth and his nurse fled in terror of David. They were afraid of David. They were seeking to stay out of David's way. And as they were fleeing, Mephibosheth fell and became lame. But Mephibosheth was fleeing from David. Mephibosheth was trying to stay out of David's way. I was Mephibosheth. And so it is with the unsaved sinner. Before God begins a work, they flee in terror from the God of the Bible. And just as he was in hiding from David, just as Adam and Eve had sought to hide from God in the garden, we sought to hide from God. Mephibosheth wanted nothing to do with David. And you and I wanted nothing to do with the God of the Bible. It was while in this state that God desired and was intent to show me and to show you the kindness of God. Why? Because of Jesus. Mephibosheth, we see, was a cripple. He was a cripple because of a fall. It says he was lame on his feet. In verse 13, it says he was lame on both of his feet. And we read, again we read in 2 Samuel 4 and verse 4, it was while he was desirous to get away from David that he fell and became lame. The fact that he was lame, the fact that he was lame on both of his feet, speaks of his inability. And it speaks of our inability to come to God and to walk in his ways. Notice then where Mephibosheth lived. David asked Ziba, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" Ziba proceeded to tell David of Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. And then in verse 4, David asked, "Where is he?" And Ziba answered, "He's in the house of Machir, down there in Lodabar, the city east of the Jordan River, in northern Palestine, a city that was characterized by its barrenness, its wastelands, its devastation, a city in the midst of a wilderness." The name Lodabar means the place of no pasture. And that's where we lived. If you're here in loss, it's where you still live. It was a place of desolation. It was a place of exile. It was a place of bondage. It was a place of destruction. It was a place of despondency. It was a place of shame. It was a place of helplessness. It was a place of fear. And that is where Mephibosheth lived or existed. So there is Mephibosheth, a shameful thing, belonging to a disgraced and doomed family. A fugitive from the king, doing his best to stay out of David's way, wanting nothing to do with King David. And here he is with a severe disability. He's lame on both his feet. And he's existing in desolation. And may I say, he was content to have it so. I was Mephibosheth. So there's King David upon his throne. He has this desire in his heart to show kindness unto Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. But there was this enormous obstacle. Mephibosheth belonged to a rebellious family. And Mephibosheth was afraid of David. And may I say, lost sinner, you are afraid of the God of the Bible. That's why people create a God in their minds that they're not afraid of. But you present to them the God of the Bible, and they're fearful. They're fearful. Mephibosheth was afraid of David. He was hiding from David. And he would never come to David. And even if he wanted to come, he never could, because he was lame. He was unable to do so. I was Mephibosheth. The king, though, with this desire in his heart to show the kindness of God unto Mephibosheth, makes provision to bring Mephibosheth from Lodabar to himself. And it's all due to a covenant between David and Jonathan. A covenant that they entered into even before Mephibosheth was born. David has purposed to show kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. So there's the king. He has this desire to show the kindness of God unto Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. People today in their theology that say, well, God desires to save everyone. Well, no, he doesn't. But that's a different message. So here's the king with this desire. What would he do? Would he just sit back and hope that one day Mephibosheth would just stop being afraid of him? Is that what God does? Would he just sit back and hope that one day somebody would say something to Mephibosheth and it would convince him that I don't have to hide from David. I'm going to go and I'm going to go to David. No, that's not what he would do. Notice verse 5. David sent and fetched him out from Lodabar. David has purposed to show kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. Would he make Mephibosheth an offer? Mephibosheth, I know you're lame on both your feet, but I'll tell you what. If you can somehow make your way to me, you'll live in the palace from now on. There's no such offer. No such offer. Would he simply leave it to the will of Mephibosheth? Oh, I sure hope that Mephibosheth wakes up one day and decides to come to me. Is that what David did? Would he send Mephibosheth an invitation to come to him and then tell Mephibosheth, now Mephibosheth, here's your invite to come to me. Now you just do the best you can to get to me. No. David sent and fetched him out from Lodabar. David has purpose to show kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. Would he offer Mephibosheth assistance? Would he UPS him a pair of crutches and say, Mephibosheth, I know that you're lame, but hopefully these crutches will help you come to me. Is that what he did? No. He sent and fetched him out of Lodabar. I'm so glad that God, though he would have been justified in condemning me, purposed to spare me. And that's what David is doing here. And he did not just sit back. I'm talking about God. God purposed to spare me. And he did not just sit back and say, I really want to save Dan Gordon. And I sure hope that he comes to me. Nor did he simply make me an offer. Nor did he simply assist me. What he did was he sent the Holy Spirit. David sent. And God sent the Holy Spirit to where I was living. Where was I living? I was living in Lodabar. What was I doing? I was hiding from God, trying to stay out of God's way. I wanted nothing to do with the God of the Bible. But God sent and came down to Lodabar where I was living, afar off from Him, a fugitive, helpless, living in a land of waste and destruction, and he fetched me. That's salvation. You don't get over that. Mephibosheth, after David sent and fetched him again, in verse 6, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. And somebody says, see, there it is, he came. Yes, he came. But why? He was fetched. And yes, I came to Jesus Christ. And yes, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, and if you come to Him, He will save you. But if you're going to come, He has to fetch you. Has to go down in Lodabar and fetch you. So Mephibosheth is brought. Though it says he came, he is brought into the presence of the king. And his coming unto David is the direct result of being fetched. He's been brought out of Lodabar, the place of no pasture. And believing that he is about to lose his life, we read in verse 6 that he lies prostrate before the king. And David said, Mephibosheth. Oh, you could just stop and rejoice all day. And David said, Mephibosheth. And I believe that David gently put his hand upon a trembling Mephibosheth and said what is recorded in verse 7. Fear not. Fear not. I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Read that over and over and over and over. There is no contingency. There is no bargain made. There are no conditions stipulated I will surely, I will, not if you will, I will. This is grace. Not only was his life spared, at that very moment, Mephibosheth had peace. In those two words, fear not, fear not. There was also an inheritance for Mephibosheth, verse 7. And will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. That was repeated again in verse 9. So Mephibosheth has restored to him the forfeited inheritance. Do you realize that we have restored to us more than we lost in Adam and Eve? There was an inheritance for Mephibosheth. You and I lost paradise life in Adam. God has provided restoration and more for Jesus' sake. So there was a portion also granted to Mephibosheth. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. What a contrast to existence in Lodabar. From the place of no pasture to the place of feasting at the king's table. But notice also, there was a honored position for Mephibosheth. In verse 11, listen to David. He says, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Oh, what a position. Why? For Jonathan's sake. All because of Jonathan. Here we are today that are saved, the sons and the daughters of God. Why? Because of Jesus. So there sits Mephibosheth, once belonging to a disgraced and doomed family. He's been fetched out of a life of barrenness and waste, a life of shame and fear. And he sits at the king's table. And he sits there as the son of the king. He sits there as a member of the royal family. I am Mephibosheth. I was Mephibosheth. I am Mephibosheth. A member of the royal family. Why? Jesus. All of this illustrates the position of God's people today. In Lodabar, there was barrenness, there was waste. There was confusion, there was helplessness. But you know what? This whole world is Lodabar. But I'm a member of the royal family. I've been fetched out of Lodabar. And I don't have to live there anymore. As a saved individual, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what a day may bring forth, no matter how difficult and trying the way may be, no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the troubles and trials, no matter what the burdens, and in spite of all the strain and all the stress, I can live life at the king's table as his child. At the king's table, there is the provision of the king. You see, I can live enjoying the provision of the king. At the king's table, there's plenty. There's plenty. If you're not getting enough to eat today, it's because you're sitting at the wrong table, my friend. Because there's plenty at the king's table. There's refreshment. I imagine every day that Mephibosheth went in there and sat down as one of the king's sons, oh, how refreshed he was. There's substance at the king's table. There's fellowship. There's fellowship with the king. And there sits Mephibosheth. This is palace living. And that's the kind of life that you and I, the saved, are to live. Everything that I need to sustain me today, I will find at the king's table. Everything that I need to strengthen, to encourage me, I will not find it in Lodabar. But I will find it at the king's table. In the midst of disappointment, in the midst of distraction, you know what I find at the king's table? All is well. Find contentment. So there he sits. Look at him. There sits Mephibosheth. At the king's table, as one of the king's sons. This is palace living. To those who are saved, where do you live today? Where do you live today? Have you some way made your way back to Lodabar? Oh, I've had people tell me, and I believe them. Oh, Brother Dan, I didn't mean for this to happen. I believe that. This is not where I wanted to end up. I believe you. But somehow, some way, you get back to Lodabar. It doesn't have to be that way. We can live in the palace. Why? Why would a child of God, why would the sons and daughters of the king take up residence in Lodabar? Why would we do that? Where do you live? Lodabar? Or do you live in the palace at the king's table as his child? I tell you what, when I'm living in the palace, I don't dread getting up in the morning. When I live in the palace, I don't dread the day. I enjoy life. I enjoy the day. Life is good in the palace. Palace living is wonderful. And every one of us that are saved, this is the life we can live. You don't have to live in Lodabar. And if you are in Lodabar, you don't have to stay there. There's a place, talking to the saved, there's a place for you at the king's table. But I want to tell you, there's no place for you in Lodabar. Oh, the residents of Lodabar will promise you all kinds of things, but I've got news for you. They don't have any place for you. But back at the palace, there's a place for me. There's a place for you as a son and daughter of God at the king's table. Oh, we go back to that glorious day when God sent and fetched us out of Lodabar. I've told you many times, February 17th, 1972, God sent and fetched me out of Lodabar. I was sitting in that funeral home. My mind and my heart was filled with hate toward God. And I was cursing God in my mind. I didn't go there just and then just decided, you know what? I want to be saved today. God sent and fetched me. And I came. And I've never been the same since. That's what God does when He saves a sinner. That's what He does. And oh, from time to time, I go back to Lodabar. Why? Because I'm stupid. Because I'm ignorant. Because that's my nature. But you know what? Every time, I can honestly say this, every time I've gone back to Lodabar, I don't want to stay there. I've never wanted to stay there since the day God fetched me. And I want to say, if you have a desire to stay there, you had better make sure that you better be sure if God's ever fetched you out of there. Yes, I go back. But I sure don't want to stay there. And God fetches us out again and again. You're here and lost today. This is a wonderful story. Because you see, you are Mephibosheth. You live in Lodabar. And you have nothing to offer unto God. There's no good in you. There's nothing in you that would merit God to spare your life. But all we pray today, that God would send and fetch you out of Lodabar. You know the wonderful thing about that? You don't have to be in this church building for God to fetch you out of Lodabar. You can be in the deepest ditch in Lodabar. You can be in the thickest mud in Lodabar. God will send and fetch you out of that place. The truth is, you can run, you can hide. But if God desires to save your soul, He's going to fetch you out of Lodabar. You say, well, how will I know? How will I know if God fetches me out of Lodabar? You'll come to Him. That's the only way you're coming. That's the only way you can come. So that's how you know, if you can come to Jesus. And that's why we have no problem today saying, if you can come to Jesus, come. I know, left to yourself, you can't come. But I also know, if God fetches you, you're coming. So we pray today, if you're here and lost, and you're like Mephibosheth, that God would fetch you out of Lodabar today. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day when God sent and fetched me out of Lodabar. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse of song.